When we come to the book of Proverbs, then we are in no doubt over who the human penman of these words was. We have only got to look at the first verse of the book itself, and it reminds us that it was Solomon, the son of David, the king of Israel. And God, the Holy Ghost, the divine author of the Scriptures, was to direct this man to write such words of wisdom. We ought not be surprised that the Proverbs contain such good advice and such good wisdom. For I am reminded of Solomon and what he asked God for when he was to sit upon the throne of Israel. He could have asked for longevity of life. He could have asked for wealth. He could have asked even for the life of his enemies. But instead, we have those words. His prayer was, his desire, give therefore thy servant an understanding heart. Solomon asked for understanding, and he asked for wisdom to rule the people and to be able to discern between that which was good and that which was evil. And we would do well, men and women, to ask God for the same thing in these days. For when we think of this land that we love and cherish the most, then we could easily place the words of Hosea chapter 4 and verse 6 over it. My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. Oh, for men and women, like those of the tribe of Issachar in the Scriptures, for although their number was small, yet we read in 1 Chronicles 12 that they had understanding of the time. And they knew what Israel ought to do. Oh, for the understanding which Solomon speaks about here in the opening part of verse 15. Good understanding giveth favor, he says. Good understanding not only in things natural, but understanding in the things which are divine, and the understanding in things which are spiritual. Where does this understanding start? Well, if I turn you back to the Psalm 111, in the words of verse 10, we have the answer. Where it says there, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. A good understanding have all they that do His commandments. His praise endureth forever. There's where we commence. The fear of the Lord. The keeping of His commandments. And sadly, I fear that instead of following the commandments of God, there increasingly is a setting of them aside. And therefore, tonight I want to preach this evening upon the second clause in the words of verse 15 of Proverbs chapter 13. What does it say? But the way of transgressors is hard. The way of the transgressors is hard. You'll notice with me there, the path that is spoken of. Now, of course, we hear all too often about contention over paths and roads that are supposedly we're not meant to walk on and we're not allowed to travel down. But I don't want to bring your mind into the political this night. But rather, men and women, I want you to think with me of another sort of path. And it is the path of life in which you are upon. There is a path mentioned in this verse, and it is that pathway upon which every man, every woman, and every child is upon by birth. There is no difference between the congregation and the preacher in this sense. We are all born onto this path. The same truth is taught in other places throughout the Word of God. Isaiah chapter 53 and verse 6, for example. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned every one to his own way. And you well know the nature of the sheep. For having put its head down, it just walks on regardless. It doesn't know its way back again. What an apt picture that is of sinful man. What a poignant truth that is of ourselves born into this world. We have gone astray. Man has gone astray from the ways of God. Or we could think of the words of Romans chapter 3 and verse 11 and following, where Paul says this, "There is none that understandeth, there is none that seeketh after God. They are all gone out of the way, they are all become unprofitable. There is none that doeth good, no, not one." I trust that you understand tonight that all are upon this path, all because of the disobedience of our first parents when sin entered into this world. Adam and Eve disobeyed God, and they disobeyed His commandments, and as a result of that, they fell from that sweet communion they had with their Creator and with their God. And all born since are born with that Adamic nature. Our minds, our wills, our hearts are all enmity against God. Our feet are upon that broad road that leadeth to destruction. That road of which the Lord was to speak about, often found in the Gospel. That is the way which Solomon refers to in this text. That is the path of life upon which your feet have been treading since the day of your birth. It is a path of sin. It is a path which leadeth on to death. And there are other proverbs which Solomon was to write that speak the same. For if you turn over to Proverbs chapter 16 and the words of verse 25, you have it again. There is a way that seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. It may be that you're on this path this evening, and it seems a good path in your own eyes. It seems that you're on a right path, but oh my friend, I want you to realize at the end of that road, the end of that path in which you're on is one of everlasting destruction. There is eternal death before you. It is very interesting that the word way in my text, it comes from another word in the Hebrew original that gives the thought and the sense of marching. You know all about marching, maybe in the physical sense. You look at the regiment of soldiers and they know what it is to march. But tonight in the spiritual, I wonder, do you fully realize that your feet are marching you along this road of sin? They're marching you along, leading you to an eternity where the Lord was to speak about more than He ever was to speak about heaven itself. Your feet are taking you as fast as they can to the caverns of the damned, where the worm dieth not and the fire is never quenched, to which there is no escape. You see, I'm mindful of that man in Luke chapter 16. And although his pathway in life may be considered as one of ease, we read of him he fared sumptuously every day. He was a rich man. He had many goods. But alas, we also read that his feet were upon this path that led to destruction. And we read in Luke chapter 16 and verse 23 that he died. And in hell, he lifted up his eyes, being in torments, and he cried out for mercy. And he cried out for a drop of water to be placed on his tongue, for he said, "I am tormented in this flame." Hell is not something to be made fun of. Many do that today. As sure as there is a heaven, so there is a hell. And as heaven is to be gained, hell is to be shunned. Oh, this earth, bad as it may be, not hell. For there's still the mercy of God to be seen here and witnessed. And we still know God hearing and answering prayer here. But there's no answers to prayer in hell. But your feet are taking you to that awful place, because your feet are on that pathway tonight that leads to destruction if you're not seeing it. And that being the case, I stand before you and I simply want to warn you in the gospel. What a shame if a man or a woman or a young person in such a meeting as this was to leave such a place and go out into a lost sinner's eternity. What a tragedy. Lest you think that that does not concern you. Oh, preacher, you must be speaking about someone else, not me. Well, I want you to see further from my text, not only the path, but I want you to notice the people. To whom does this wise man refer to? To whom is he speaking about? Who are upon this path? He says, the way of the transgressor is hard. Having shown you something of the path of sin, I want you to think of the people. You see, here is a term which is used of the sinner. What is a transgressor? But one who has failed. One who has fallen short of the mark. One who is a lawbreaker. And thus we may use the phrase today of such a person, and they have transgressed in some sin. The wise preacher here is not referring to that soul in Christ. He's not speaking about God's people here. Indeed, the psalmist could say in Psalm 32 and verse 1, blessed or happy is he whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered. The sinner who realizes that they have sinned and that they have transgressed the law of God and they have sought the only means of salvation through the gift of God's only dear Son, and they call upon the Lord for mercy to save them, then they know their transgressions have been taken away, and happy is that man or that woman. Do you know that happiness tonight? But this text of Scripture refers to one who has no such assurance. They are still upon that path of sin. They are still that lawbreaker in the eyes of a just and a holy God. And the Scriptures remind us that if we offend in one point of the law, then we are also guilty of it all. Do you want an example of that? You've only got to think of the rich young ruler. And how we read of him in Mark's Gospel. And he came one day running to the Lord. There was urgency about his matter. And he came with earnestness, for he was to ask the Lord, what shall I do that I may inherit eternal life? And he came to the right person. He came to Christ. Ah, but alas, that young man had lived a good life. He had kept the commandments of God from his youth up. But alas, the Lord was to see beyond the outward appearance, and he was to be able to see right into the heart, and he knew that that heart was a heart of covetousness, and it would not give up his possessions. And that young man too was a lawbreaker, for God saith, thou shalt not covet. And we read that that young man was sorrowful, and he went away, for he had many possessions. He wasn't prepared to give up those possessions to possess eternal life and to follow Christ. Even though he was a good man. Maybe there's one in this gathering tonight and your feet are on the broad road, yes. But maybe you're on the clean side of that broad road. You're not indulging in the filth of this world. You're on the clean side of it. Is there such a thing? And you seek to live an upright life. And maybe you attend the house of God. You're a churchgoer. And you're proud of your heritage and your religious liberty, which our forefathers have fought and died for. And there is much that others in this preacher could commend with you. But understand that all your righteousness and those things that you had dared offer to God, listen, they are only filthy rags in the sight of the Lord. And you, my friend, are still that transgressor of which this verse speaks about. Transgressor, in other words, is another name for sinner. And this verse is teaching you of the path in which the sinner is upon. I trust that you understand the basic teaching of God's Word this evening, that we have all sinned and come short of the glory of God. It's like the arrow that is taken and it is fired at the target, but it always falls short. And so you and I have fallen short of God's mark. Oh, there are people tonight, and they love to think that maybe they're not so bad after all. They never do anybody harm, and they're church-going people, maybe. And they may become quite annoyed at a boy like I standing on their doorstep or preaching to them that they're a sinner before God, and they might get hot under the collar. But dear friend, tonight I stand before you as a sinner myself. A sinner saved by God's matchless grace. And if you are to be in God's heaven, for not everyone is going to be there, as the popular message of today would tell us, then there needs to be this recognition that I am the guilty one. I am guilty before God. And if a man or a woman comes to that point, where they can see themselves in the mirror of God's Word, and they can see that they are transgressors, and they can notice and understand that their transgressions is taking them to a lost eternity, then I believe, dear soul, that God will further show you the one who can deal with your transgressions and to have your sin problem dealt with. First step for a man or woman to be cured of a sickness is to recognize they're sick in the first place. Man doesn't recognize he's sick, he'll never go to the doctor. And the first step for a man or woman to be saved and to be ready and prepared for heaven is to recognize that they are the transgressor, that they have transgressed the holy law of God, and that they are sinners in the sight of God. Oh, I wonder, dear sir or madam, tonight, have you come to that point? You have sinned not only by admitting what you should have done, but by also doing that which is forbidden. And that being so, you stand guilty before God, and the Scriptures teaches us that the soul that sinneth, it shall die. Stand before God one day, you will. And on that great and on that final day before that judgment seat, you will have to give account of what you did. You'll have to give an account of what you did with the gospel as you sat in gospel services. You'll have to give account of what you done with God's dear Son. What shall I do with Jesus, which is called Christ? And you'll stand there on your own. And there'll be no one there to speak up on your behalf. You'll not have an advocate with the Father because you rejected the Lord Jesus Christ. Lest that would be your portion. Thank God there is hope for you, the transgressor. For the Scriptures teach us that Christ came not to call the righteous, but sinners unto repentance. He came to seek and to save that which was lost. Do you recognize, dear soul, that you're lost tonight in your sin on this pathway of life? And will you not come to Christ and be saved? You see, in my text, you have the path. And you have the people. But I want you to understand also, finally, the payment for sin. The whole sentence brings it home before us that there is a payment for sin. There are the consequences of sin. It says the way of transgressors is hard. I trust that there would not be one foolish enough to suggest in this gathering tonight to tell me that the sinner's way is easy. I have been, I suppose, to various places doing the work of the Lord. Had occasion some years back to be in the city of Glasgow with some of our young people in outreach. I suppose some of the houses and the flats in Glasgow I will never forget. And there is impressed upon my mind the scene of some of our young people having come out of those flats, having distributed gospel literature into every door, and they come out and they wash their hand in a puddle on the ground. Such was the filth of those houses. You see, sin had so deluded men and women and brought them so far down that they were actually living in filth. We need to pray that God in His mercy would not allow this land to become like Scotland. A land which had a glorious heritage, and yet today it's as far away and as far off from God. Yes, the Scriptures teach us that there are the pleasures of sin, but they only last for a season. There is the pleasure in sin for a time, and then it is gone. The way grows harder as time goes on. And soon comes the guilt upon the soul. And soon that conscience which was deadened is awakened and it is troubled, and there's a fear and there's a terror within your very being. And although you may think that you're living life to the fullest, yet all the time you're heaping up the wrath of God upon you. One has only got to read another verse in the Proverbs. You turn over to Proverbs chapter 8. And the words of verse 36. Listen to this. But he that sinneth against me wrongeth his own soul. He that sinneth against me wrongeth his own soul. Not only in your sin are you grieving to God and that which is iniquitous in God's sight. But alas, in actual fact, the longer that you march along this road of sin, then the more you're wronging your own self. For your sin not only destroys you, and it may even destroy your family, but it deceives you, and at last it will damn you in a Christless eternity. You've heard it before, that sin will bring you farther than you want to go. And it will keep you longer than you want to stay. And it will cost you more than you want to pay. Listen, there is a payment for sin in this life. For the way of the transgressor is hard. And if that is not enough for you to drive, to be driven away from this path on which you're on this evening, and what about the deathbed? If God permits you to have one. What about staring death in its face? What about staring out into that darkness of the unknown? There's a payment for sin. It may be in this life, aye, but certainly it will be in the next life. What about staring death and you're not right with God? What about standing at that judgment seat? Oh, if Isaiah, when he saw the King of Kings, when he saw that vision of the Lord, and he said, woe is me, for I am undone. And if John in the Isle of Patmos was to fall down at His feet as He was dead, when He saw the Son of Man, when He saw the One whose mouth went as a sharp two-edged sword and His countenance was as the sun shineth in His strength. As that was the reaction of John in the Isle of Patmos, he fell down at His feet. Then, my dear soul, how will you fare? How will you fare standing before the judgment seat? What about the worm which never dieth? Way of the transgressor is hard. And it will continue to be so the longer you stay in it. Let it be understood tonight that your sin one way or another must be punished. Thank God it doesn't have to be paid by you in a lost eternity. For I speak of the One who came from heaven's glory and the One who willingly laid down His life on the cross that you might go free. I speak of the Lord Jesus Christ who took upon Himself our sin and He was to make it His very own. For there on the cross He became sin and He took upon Himself our sin and He paid the full punishment for it. What a mystery. That the Lord should love you or I so much that He would die for us. Isaiah 53 puts it like this. He hath poured out His soul unto death. He was numbered with the transgressors, one on either side of Him. And He bare the sin of many. And He made intercession for the transgressors. I tell you tonight, the payment has been made. The punishment that was our due has been laid on Him. And tonight I would that you would behold the Lamb of God, which beareth away the sin of the world. He taketh it away. Come to Him. Come to Him, dear soul, just as you are, just as an old sinner. Call upon Him for mercy to save you. You will know what it is to be a child of God. And you'll know what it is to be on that road that leadeth unto life eternal. See, Proverbs 4 and verse 18 sums it up. The path of the just is as the shining light that shineth more and more unto the perfect day. What do you need to do tonight in the midst of your turmoil, in the midst of the mess of your life, in the midst of confusion? You need to repent of your sin. You need to turn by faith unto the God who is merciful, who will forgive your sin and who will pardon your iniquity. Thank God if you do so. He has said, Him that cometh unto me, I will in no wise cast out. I wonder, will you heed the message tonight? It comes as a warning. The way of transgressors is hard. But the way of the cross, it leads home. Will you come tonight and receive it? God help you to do so. Young person or older. Don't put it off any longer. May God bless His word to our hearts for His own name's sake. Amen.